Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Warning. On this podcast, we take the cases seriously, but not ourselves.
Although, we may attempt to lighten the mood at times.
Our episodes contain graphic descriptions that some listeners may find disturbing. Listener discretion is advised. Happy Halloween, lads. Are you excited for Halloween, Neil?
No, not really.
No. You never really got into it in your household, did you?
No.
Yeah, it's quite depressing to me.
The first time I dressed up for Halloween was last year for a Halloween special.
You were deprived of a childhood.
Well. We went out the night before.
What do you mean you went out the night before?
I don't even know if it's a thing over here or just in the UK, but the night before Halloween is mischievous night, where you just go out causing ruckus.
Speaking of mischief, our car got egged.
Yeah.
Cheeky fucking bastards.
Yeah, a week before Halloween.
Unbelievable.
The price of fucking eggs now.
The price of eggs, and I tell you what, because we hadn't used the car for a few days, we don't know if that was the night before or a few days. I'm going to take a guess a couple days sat, because that was bet on.
Yeah, but they pelted it with like 10 quids worth of eggs. Yeah. About 4 eggs on there.
Well, not quite that bad over here.
But I get my hands on the bastards.
Car wash struggled to get that off.
Yeah.
We had to get out the car afterwards and fucking...
We had to do manual labour.
It was unbelievable. Unbelievable. But yeah, no, would it be in Halloween? It got me thinking. What is your favourite chocolate bar?
Whisper Gold.
Sweets?
Reasons.
They're a good one. They're a good one. Crisps.
Ooh.
Can I say, you're the only other person I know who loves, I don't even know if that's how you pronounce it, but Reasons.
Yeah, they're German.
What's that got to do with it?
I'm just showing you I've got some knowledge on Reasons.
I'll assume that's how it's pronounced. I never knew. But you're the only other person I've heard. I fucking love them.
Yeah, with me and you, Reasons. Toffifee.
Oh, yeah.
Them Toffifee cup.
I love a Toffifee. Things. Yeah. Mm. They're deadly.
No, Reasons, you need a good set of chompers on you, though.
Mm.
If your teeth aren't great, suck on it for like half hour before you start to try and chew it.
Yeah.
They're tough. Favourite crisps. Right. They're not that popular.
Can I guess? Yeah. I think I can guess your favourite. What you would class as the number one crisp?
Go on.
The Roysters.
Yes.
Was it?
T-bone steak.
T-bone steak.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're not that popular. You have to go in place. So if you're in the UK.
Like a pound shop or something.
Yeah. B&M, Iceland.
Do America? Oh, no, they do. Yeah.
Jack Fulton's.
I was going to say, do Americans have like pound shops? They've got like dollar stores, don't they?
Yeah.
You hear them say dollar store.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think it's just tatty trinket shit.
And a pound shop isn't.
No.
That's fucking rubbish.
No, you go in Poundland and you can get like washing up liquid.
Oh,
stuff
yeah.
Like
no,
that.
There is some good stuff, like the branded things, you know, that they buy in bulk.
Mm.
You can get them a bit cheaper.
And they're a bit short dated.
But I mean, of the other crap that's there, it's cheap tat, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's why you love it.
Exactly.
B&M. You can't be British and not love B&M.
Look.
Against the law.
B&M has gone up in my book now. Because So I messaged my dad before we went to Manchester for CrimeCon, and I said, do you think we'll be able to get Enderson's Relish in Manchester? And he said, no. Like, when I moved to Leeds, I struggled to find it.
Mm.
So I was like, yeah, I don't think we will. B&M, Manchester, fucking Enderson's Relish.
And I would like credit for it. It was this eagle-eyed bastard that found it.
Yeah, so we ended up bringing two bottles on.
Mm. Neil wanted to bring a lot more, but I said, please.
Six. I was going to get six bottles.
Yeah, I said, please don't, because first of all, the colour of Henderson's, if that bursts on your clothes, that's it.
And I wrapped second, it in a white hoodie.
Yeah. And second, the year previous, you brought home cans of Dandelion and Burdock and they just destroyed everything.
Yeah.
Everything was covered.
Yeah. Yeah, as soon as we got home and I opened the bag, I was like, I can smell Dandelion and Burdock.
Mm. To be honest with you, right, I mean, it does bother me that you never got to go trick-or-treating. To me, it's such a big part of childhood. There's like two big things to me, which is trick-or-treating at Halloween and then Christmas morning.
Mm.
Obviously at Christmas.
Yeah.
And you didn't get trick-or-treating.
No, I went down the different route of getting free shit.
Nicking.
Yeah, I didn't have to talk. I didn't have to go and knock on doors and talk to people.
But you know what it was, right? Because you'd know,
bar up the sleeve.
You'd know the houses to go to. You know, the rich people houses where you get like the proper branded good snacks or chocolate and sweets and all that.
Yeah.
But then you'd always come across some who give you like an apple or some nuts. An orange was a big one.
Can I just say, I don't like the way you looked at me when I said about putting the Mars bar up my sleeve. That is harmless. What you lot were doing is knocking on a door. And if you weren't happy with what you got, you fucked up their house.
I never did, to be fair.
Oh.
I was a lovely,
so you were just as much criminals
child.
As I was.
Yeah, but I mean, like...
Was, actually.
Trick or treat, Neil. Trick or treat.
I remember there were a lad at my school. He'd been trick-or-treating and he got into trouble and it went round school. He potted someone's window.
Ah, no, that's taking the piss.
Because they just sat there and ignored him. And I went... That's a bit fucking extreme for not getting a chocolate bar. Smashed their fucking double glazing window.
Yeah, no, I'm not condoning his behaviour, but they've got some fucking cheek on them. You know the fucking rules. If you don't want to deal with trick-or-treaters, you turn the lights off, close the fucking curtains.
Yeah.
You're not there.
We did. Every year.
You got to play it like you're in a horror movie. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. It's a zombie invasion. Quiet.
Yeah.
No, like, no sign of life in there.
So it's grand where we are now. Growing up with my parents, we were on the main road. And then the house I moved to in Leeds, when I got my own place, was on the main road. So every Halloween, it was a fucking nightmare.
Mm.
Like, you little shit, I don't
care.
Oh,
hang on, actually. I didn't even think about that. On the flip side of it, as you became an adult, did you get sweets in for the kids?
No. Ignored them every year.
You are a fucking miserable bastard.
Right. I was
sick
on,
of it.
I was on fucking minimum wage in north of England.
Go to B&M. He's been raving about it.
Yo, you think I'm on minimum wage in the north of England. So I was on about, at one point I was only on like £6 an hour. £6 an hour.
That's not the children's fault.
And you think that I'm going to run out and buy loads of shit because some little twat has put face paint on in a bin liner and going,
do you remember
I'm
that?
A witch.
Do you remember that? The old bin bag and a plastic mask?
You honestly think, like, I would turn in, if I did actually open the door to the little shits, I would turn into Simon Cowell. It'd be like, you're not getting fuck all. What the what are you?
See, the way you did that with your hand, you're making me think of Karen from Will and Grace. Honey, what's this? What's happening? What's going on? Who's this meant to be?
Yeah, like... So a friend of mine, I might have talked about it before. So he went trick-or-treating every year. Him, his little brother, his little sister. His grandma lived in America.
Mm-hmm.
And she'd come over like once or twice a year to visit. And she would always bring some Halloween costumes for the kids for that year. He was always decked out.
Mm.
No one had the same sort of stuff he had. Like, I remember he had the ghost face mask before anyone else. And it was really good quality rubber and everything.
It was, didn't you say it was the one that like spurts the blood?
Yeah, he had like on his chest, he'd wear it under his clothes like body armour sort of thing.
The blood pack.
Yeah. Yeah, he was decked out every year.
I mean, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Credit to the Americans. They do it big with Halloween.
Yeah, but people need to remember that Halloween isn't American.
I don't think anyone thinks it
is.
They
do.
Well, fucking get a grip. Where are you getting that from? But, like I said, credit where credit is due. They really do show up for Halloween.
What the Americans did is they improved Halloween.
Well,
like, before the Americans were doing it, obviously it was the Irish just giving vegetables out to each other and shit. And it was very morbid.
I think we need to do an episode on Samhain.
What?
Halloween.
The what?
Halloween. Samhain. The origins of it.
Right.
Yeah. Right. Maybe next year we'll get into that.
I did play it on Assassin's Creed.
The Viking one. Yeah.
Yeah. You're in Ireland and you do the Halloween shit. It's very morbid. Right, so what do you have for us today?
Well, if you hadn't guessed, we are going to be covering a Halloween case today.
Shock.
We're going to be talking about the murder of Doreen Herbert.
Herbert. Is that what you said her name is? Herbert.
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 E-R-Bert.
Okay. Herbert.
Herbert.
Yeah. No, it's what you're laughing at. It's someone's name.
I didn't laugh.
You were fucking smirking at me.
I said her name and you took issue with it.
I was clarifying what the name was.
Doreen Ray Hitchens was born...
What happened to Herbert?
That's her married name. She was born Doreen Ray Hitchens.
Right.
Doreen Ray Hitchens was born on the 29th of November, 1952, in Santa Clara, California. She came from a loving family and was said to have had a very happy childhood alongside a sister and a brother. As an adult, Doreen worked as a physical therapist and also spent time volunteering in schools, which I imagine she was well suited for these roles as she was described as kind and caring, a vibrant young woman with a laugh that couldn't help but make you smile yourself.
Kind and caring? So for someone who's dealt with physical therapists, get fucked.
That's a fair point.
Right. Anyone...
Some of them are trying to hurt you.
Right. Have you ever been to get a massage and you felt like they're trying to make you say it's too much?
Me personally, no.
But they are about. That's their job. Like, if they're digging their thumb into your muscle.
Future reference, as someone who is trained in massage therapy, if you go for a massage and you feel like they're actively trying to hurt you, report them. Report them immediately.
Well, I'm not going to say who, but I know one person who definitely does. They was giving me a back massage.
Is it me?
No. you're too nice. They were giving me a back massage, and I said, "Oh, can you put a bit more pressure on?" I thought they was fucking elbow dropping me from a top rope, and I could tell they wanted me to say, "No, you're hurting me."
Were you being a dick? Was it one of those where you're like, "Fucking break me back"?
No.
I hate people like that.
No, I said, I think they asked, "How's the pressure?" And I said, "You can go a bit harder."
Yeah, so like I said, from the professional standpoint, absolutely not. That's atrocious behaviour. But at the same stage, it's very annoying for a massage therapist to hear a person be, you know, when they book in and what they want is a deep tissue massage.
Yeah.
But they don't want to pay for that. You know what I mean? That's a lot of stress on massage therapist's body.
Yeah.
You're putting a lot of fucking manual labor into doing that. Well, I didn't only people realize how much it is.
I didn't go to a proper place. I went to someone's house. Never again.
In the late 70s, Doreen met a man named Charles Herbert, the owner of a carpet shop.
Why are you looking at me like that?
Well, that's where the name's coming in now.
Yeah,
you happy?
Yeah.
We're kind of...
I caught on.
Now, I'm not keen on the expression, but it was a bit of a knight in shining armour moment for Doreen, as they met when her car had broken down and Charles pulled over to help her. The following year, Doreen and Charles married, and they went on to welcome a daughter, born on the 26th of November, 1979, and they named her Diana.
Diana.
The couple lived in Barriessa, a quiet, close-knit neighbourhood in San Jose, California. And 4 years later, after the birth of Diana, the couple were expecting their second child, due in early November of 1984. So by the 31st of October 1984, Doreen is heavily pregnant. And like the trooper that she is, that evening, Doreen and her bump took Diana out trick-or-treating while Charles stayed in to hand out sweets to the neighbourhood kids.
And the bump?
And her bump.
What, the bump is an individual now?
Well, I'm just saying she's heavily pregnant. That's going to be a lot to be walking around on your feet. But, you know, when I first read that, I was like, oh, Charles, why don't you fucking go out?
That's what I was thinking.
In fairness to Charles, he had previously took Diana out, so Doreen wasn't on her feet for too long, but he saved a few houses because, of course, you don't want to miss out on bringing your kid trick-or-treating unless, you know, you're Neil's parents.
Yeah, my dad always said, it's American shite.
Hmm. But he wasn't to know you'd end up with someone Irish and, you know...
learn.
Yeah. He thought he'd just remain ignorant. Side note, if you were pregnant at Halloween, what costume would you pick to capitalise on the situation, on the pregnancy? How would you incorporate it?
Like a matron or something.
What?
Like a matron or something. You know what a fucking matron is?
Like a nurse.
Yeah, but they're always like the bigger, sturdier, older,
oh, you're literally
don't take
going,
any shit.
You're literally going for size. I was thinking of having like an alien burst out your stomach kind of thing.
Oh.
Because you've got the bump. I was thinking like, what can you do with that?
Well, I got matron and then I'd got, what was her name? Is it Mrs. Krabopple?
Trunchable.
Trunchable.
From Matilda.
Yeah.
Yeah, but she was just a bigger, more broad woman.
She was enormous.
But we're talking about a big belly.
She was a beast of a woman.
Doreen was nearly 9 months pregnant. That's what I'm saying. You've got this big round belly.
Mm.
Are you going to do anything with it for the costume?
I suppose you could, like, you know, like you said, put an alien bursting out or something.
By the time Doreen and Diana arrive home, they're starting to run low on sweets for the trick-or-treaters. So Charles runs out to the shop and stops off at his friend's house on the way home.
Why don't she do it on the way home? Lazy bastard.
Well, she's only a few houses down. Trick-or-treating.
Oh, okay.
Charles has to... you got to actually go out to the shop.
All right.
You'll ease off Doreen for now. As Doreen and Diana await Charles's return, they cuddle up on the sofa and watch TV. This is when they hear a knock on the door. Doreen gets up to answer the knock, and she opens the door to a man stood on her doorstep. He's wearing a rubber wolf mask, coveralls, and he's holding a machete.
That doesn't even make sense.
The man lunges into the hallway towards Doreen before hoisting the machete and inflicting one devastating blow after another. This attack was beyond savagery, as the violence was not only solely directed at Doreen, but also her unborn child. The killer cut open Doreen's abdomen and ripped the fetus from her body, severing the left foot in the process before throwing the body to the ground.
What the fuck?
Mm.
Do you know what I was about to say? Well, if she's that far gone, the baby might, if they get the baby out fast enough, might survive.
That does come back round in the story, that point.
Oh.
There was cuts to her neck. Her hand was severed. And one rather graphic description of her injuries stated that her body had been, quote, flayed open like a gutted deer. The attack was brutal. Blood was sprayed across the walls, floors and ceiling. And not only was there blood spatter on the ceiling, but there was also nicks in the plaster. As it was a large weapon, the killer had to raise the blade between strikes, leaving these indentations.
Where's your man?
Charles.
Yeah.
He is out at the shop.
Oh, okay. You did say that.
I did. During the struggle, It's thought that Doreen had ripped the mask from her attacker, which was left by the side of the front door.
It's fucking him, and I'll tell you for why. Out at the shops, me ass, and then the fucking costume didn't make sense. What's it, fucking overalls and a wolf mask with machete. I'll tell you what the overalls is, so he can quickly take them off, and then, oh, I've just got back from the shops.
Mm.
Oh, what's happened to me wife?
It all kind of wraps up in a neat little package.
Fucking does. It's him.
Well, at approximately 9:30 p.m, dispatch receive a call. It was Charles, and he was hysterical.
Mm.
Charles had arrived home just after 9 p.m. to find the front door unlocked and Doreen covered in blood laid in the entryway. At this point, she was still breathing, and Charles, panicking, tries in vain to help Doreen.
Help?
He essentially tried to hold her innards in. Remember, her stomach has been cut open, the baby ripped from her body.
Yeah, her throat's fucking slashed. Her hand's severed. Her foot's severed.
I did say tried in vain. When emergency services later arrive on scene, Doreen is immediately transported to the hospital, but neither she or her unborn child would survive. Her cause of death, exsanguination, blood loss.
What's that mean?
Blood loss. There was multiple blows to her head, including one which had penetrated 2 inches into her brain.
Fucking hell.
Absolutely beyond brutal attack.
2 inches.
Now, while police were arriving on scene and beginning their investigation, given that Charles was covered in blood, in a very heightened state of emotion, and the fact that he was someone close to Doreen being her husband, he is immediately on police's radar.
Yeah.
As they place him into the patrol car, Charles begins to freak out. He's screaming and repeatedly calling out, "My wife, my wife."
Hmm.
He then proceeds to smash his head against the window of the car, as well as trying to kick the windows out.
Sounds like overacting to me. Banging your head against the fucking window.
Well, it seems police felt the same way as you, Neil. Once Charles is detained, he's taken to the station where he spends the majority of the night under interrogation. Now, I'm sure at this point you're wondering where Charles and Doreen's 4-year-old daughter, Deanna, is.
Hmm.
Well, police began their search of the house, and they find her still hidden behind the sofa. Now, just want to mention, another source claimed that when Charles had arrived home, he took Deanna over to a neighbour's house. I don't think that seems most likely given what Charles was walking into, but if that is the case that she was brought over to the neighbour's by Charles, I think it's probably she was found while police were on the scene and then Charles.
Yeah.
You know.
They want to ask Deanna, oi, when your mother ripped the fucking wolf mask off, was it your father's head under it?
They do talk to Deanna later on.
Okay.
But obviously, after the immediate situation, she's a 4-year-old girl. She's completely traumatised. While searching the exterior of the house, police find a trail of blood leading from their home down the street, and then it comes to a sudden stop, as if it's where the killer had entered a vehicle. Police take samples of the blood, and they also go door to door, asking neighbours if they saw or heard anything that night. One witness did say that they saw a man wearing a wolf mask, which they didn't think much of given that it was Halloween. But they did find it odd that the man was stood across the street just staring at Doreen's home.
See, this is why Halloween needs banning, right? Hear me out. You're able to walk around the street undetected, wearing whatever you fucking want. Doesn't matter how creepy it is or what. He was walking around with a fucking machete and no one thought twice. Do you not think that's a problem?
Well, I don't know if he had the machete out or he waited till he got to the door.
But it doesn't matter.
To produce it. But what I was going to say is even if he did, you'd probably just assume it's a fake blade.
Yeah. So it needs banning because you're giving people opportunity to go undetected.
Mm.
Ban it. You can do Halloween parties.
You want to ban Halloween?
Yeah. You could do like Halloween parties where it's indoor.
You want more control.
Right. I play airsoft.
Mm-hmm.
If I was to walk down the street with my MP7 or my Glock, where at 1-to-1 scale, they look real. If I was to walk down the street with that, I would be shot by armed police.
Yeah, you're kind of viewing it as drinking. You don't have an issue with people in their home or at a bar, but you shouldn't be drinking just out on the street.
Mm.
You feel the same way about Halloween.
Yeah.
Mm.
I could walk... right. Any time of the year, I could walk around with either one of samurai swords or my airsoft rifle, and I would be shot. I would at least be arrested. But Halloween, I'd be fine. Sick of it.
Thank you for coming to Neil's TED Talk.
Mm.
So other than the sighting of the Wolfman standing, creeping on Doreen's home, there wasn't much else of note, and no one could think of anyone who would wish harm on Doreen or Charles. This was until one neighbour mentions that Doreen did have a strained relationship with her ex-husband, 34-year-old William Michael Dennis.
Pick a fucking name.
He did. He more commonly went by his middle name. So, Michael Dennis.
Okay.
I'm just giving you the full name.
It's three first names.
Yeah.
And then they have to be awkward. I went by a middle one. Why?
You're only saying that because you've got a shite middle name.
I have a shite first name as well.
Before meeting Charles, Doreen had been married to a man named William Michael Dennis. Michael was a factory worker, and he and Doreen had been set up by their mutual friends. It was a whirlwind romance which led to them marrying within a year of knowing each other. In April of 1976, they welcomed a child, a son named Paul. Michael adored Paul and was said to have been a very attentive father. His son was his absolute world.
I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
Why didn't Charles mention this ex-husband to the police when he's been interrogated?
I mean, possibly he did, but Charles was out of it at this point. He just found his wife and unborn child murdered.
Hmm.
You're not really going to be thinking straight. You're probably not really thinking, who did this? You're probably more thinking, I have to help them. Mm. They're my number one priority. With meeting, marrying, and welcoming a child together within the space of 2 years, that can be a lot for a relationship to withstand. And unfortunately, it was too much for their relationship to take, and they divorced a year later. Following their divorce, Doreen had primary custody of Paul, and Michael would see him on the weekends. This was incredibly difficult for Michael, as under their agreement, he did not have custody, only visitation.
So where were this kid Halloween?
Well, I'm going to tell you.
Oh.
After Doreen entered into a relationship with Charles, he and her son formed a bond, which I would hope Michael was happy about. His child now had three loving parental figures in his life. But I can also imagine it may have been quite difficult for Michael not being the one to get to spend the time with his child.
So it could be him, you know, because jealousy of her getting pregnant again. So my money's on him or Charles.
Yeah, it does certainly lean that way. And of course, I'm speculating by stating that. And whatever the reality of how Michael truly felt about the situation, this would soon be overshadowed by the events that took place on the 17th of February, 1980. While Doreen was in the house on the phone to her brother, Paul was outside in the garden. Although fenced off by chicken wire, Paul managed to find a way through this fence, and he fell into the pool. He was rushed to the hospital, and after spending a week on life support, he was taken off and sadly died 3 days later.
Oh, it's the ex.
Hmm. The death of Paul devastated the family, but for Michael, the pain of losing his son was unbearable. In June of 1981, Michael filed a wrongful death suit against Doreen and Charles. He believed that Doreen had intentionally killed Paul, that Doreen had moved on with Charles and no longer had space for Paul in her life. But after 2 years, it was ruled that the death was in fact an accident. But by now, Michael had convinced himself that Doreen was to blame.
In a sense, yeah, because it's still kind of neglect. She wasn't watching.
She wasn't watching the child, but it was fenced off. You know, accidents happen. Like, Charles would later say he thinks maybe the dog had dug a hole underneath it and the child had climbed through. You know, It's a horrible situation for everyone. And I think with this, it's a case of Michael being so severely affected by the death. He was so desperate to just try and make sense of the situation.
Yeah.
It was said that Michael had previously raised concerns about the safety of his son around the pool, and that he had even offered to pay for the installation of fencing. So if he didn't feel that the fencing was adequate, you can certainly understand why this is a much bigger deal to him.
I know, fucking chicken wire.
Well, it's just going to make it all the more difficult for Michael to cope with.
Yeah.
After the wrongful death suit, any relationship between Michael and Doreen and Charles was severed. So, just an absolutely awful situation for everyone involved. And it also does give Michael a motive for murder. Revenge. At the time of the murder of Doreen, Michael lived less than 2 miles away. And after speaking with neighbours, police head over to Michael's home that same night.
Check his car.
When they arrive, they see a truck in his driveway.
Yeah.
They shine a light into the car and they see blood smears all over the interior.
Ah, it's fucked.
Were you working on this case?
What?
Were you working on this case?
No, I just...
You're two for two here, aren't you? They approach the house and knock on the door, but there's no answer. They make their way to the rear of the home and see that there's a light on and they can hear water running. Now, given the blood present within his vehicle, their first thought is this person is trying to wash away evidence. They knock on the door again, and this time Michael answers, wearing a robe. He asks the detectives if he can help them.
Is he taking the piss? Just found blood in his fucking truck.
Well, they tell him that they're investigating the death of his ex-wife, and he responds relatively calm and said something to the effect of, "Oh, really?"
I've got a plot twist. So he doesn't know. He hasn't been out to his truck yet.
You think Michael's being set up?
I think Charlie Boy, while he was going to the shop, I'm doing quotes for people who can't see, which is everyone but Megan. When he was going to the shop, he was like, I'll set that bastard up. I'll get in his truck. I'll drive back, do the killing, drive back, drop the truck off. Probably dumped overalls somewhere in a bush in his fucking garden or something, and then hightailed back to the house and gone, oh my God, what happened? I paint quite the picture, don't I?
So you're back on Charlie?
Yeah.
All in on Charlie?
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, like I said, Michael has a pretty relaxed reaction to this. Very casual response to someone who, regardless of your relationship now, was once a fairly significant part of your life. He invites the detectives in, and they ask Michael if he would consent to a search of his home. Michael agrees to this. But when presented with a consent to search form, Michael strolls to sign, as his hand was wrapped in bandages.
Ah, oh, fuck.
Bandages that clearly still had blood actively seeping into the fabric, signalling that this was a very recent injury.
It's fucking rooting for Michael.
Detectives ask Michael what happened to his hand, and he tells them that he was twirling a knife and accidentally grabbed the blade, and not the handle.
It happens.
Like, fucking okay, Michael. Like, what?
It happens.
Has it happened to you? Scratch that. That probably has actually happened to you. He signs the form with his left hand, and the search gets underway. Detectives find bloody clothing in his bedroom, bloody gauze in the bathroom, and blood droplets in the kitchen. Which, I suppose, could all be the result of Mike's attempt at becoming a championship-level knife twirler. But they also find blood in his garden. I mean, you could argue that Michael went outside to have more space to practice his bomb-ass knife-twirling skills.
Yeah, makes sense.
but the volume of blood was excessive for the cut to his hand. This paired with the blood found in his car, Michael was arrested. It was also noted that earlier, while Michael had looked for his ID, he kept glancing over to a specific area. Later, police uncovered a revolver in the location where Michael's eyes kept drawing to. So...
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Was that...
He was looking to shoot his way out.
Was he going to shoot his way out, or was he going to try and take his own life? Who knows? Either way, I'm sure the officers were like, thank fuck he didn't get there.
Yeah.
Once Michael is arrested under suspicion of murder, alongside a shop worker who was able to place Charles as being at the shop at the time of the murder, Charles is released.
Michael, I knew it was Michael.
You always said it was Michael.
I did.
As they begin to interview Michael, he insists that he's innocent and that he has an alibi. He tells them that he'd been home since 4 p.m. and that he'd had dinner with his mother before spending the evening handing out sweets to trick-or-treaters until about 8:30 p.m. So, right, that doesn't leave a huge amount of time. Remember, Charles came home at 9 p.m. But Michael only lived 2 miles from Doreen.
And drove.
Exactly. He still would have had time to quickly get there.
Yeah.
And commit the murder.
Yeah. But the person was also stood there. Was it for half an hour?
No, I never said a time. Oh. That's just you.
Okay.
This is how dangerous you are.
I could have sworn you said people were saying that they saw someone in a wolf mask stood for half hour looking at the house.
No, they saw someone in the wolf mask. They're like, oh, it's Halloween. But they said he was across the street staring at the house.
Yeah, for a half hour.
No, I never said.
Okay. Well, someone said it.
Police conduct a second, more thorough search of Michael's home, and they make a few disturbing discoveries. Inside of his closet, they find a receipt for an 18-inch machete. And within his garage, they find 2 handmade pine coffins.
So he's hoping your man was going to be at home.
Yep.
And do him in and all.
Mm-hmm. Now, next to the coffins are 2 green cloth bags, 70 inches in size, large enough to hold a body. They also find anchors and a map of the San Francisco Bay.
It's not often you'd get killers do that.
Oh, he's thought it
like
out.
Buying the coffins.
No, I beg your pardon, handmade.
Yeah, oh, okay. Well, that's even more. Like
craftsman.
Making coffins. Usually it'd just be a couple of sandbags or anchor and swat them in water.
Well, the problem here is, although that is, yes, absolutely horrifying, this doesn't specifically link Michael to the murder of Doreen. And without a solid enough case against him, they have to release him, as in California, you can only be held for 48 hours without being charged.
Let Charlie out.
Michael.
Michael. No.
Charlie's already out.
Right. Okay.
Charlie's the current husband.
Michael can't let this other fucker out.
Oh, they have to. They don't have enough to charge him.
Blood in his truck.
But to, no,
machete
no,
receipt.
I understand what you're saying, but to get the to charge him and make sure they can get a conviction, they have to link him to the murder, and they can only hold him for 48 hours without charging.
If they release him, he's going to do one of 2 things: he's going to kill Charlie, or kill himself, or both.
Well, you're absolutely right in terms of the police did not want to release him, and they knew by doing this they have to work so fucking quick. They know it's him.
Yeah. So the quickest way is test the blood.
Exactly. Of course, that does take a bit of time. You got to wait for the lab results to come back. But in the meantime, upon his release, Michael said that he was, quote, sorry that the murders had happened, but that he was innocent and he didn't know why the police had suspected him.
Well, other than the blood in the truck, the receipt for the machete and 2 homemade coffins in your gaff.
Like,
and the anchors.
Michael, please. We're not doing this today. So, like you mentioned, Neil, with what was found within his home, police knew they need to get something to connect Michael, and they need to get it quick. So this is when they talk to 4-year-old Deanna in hopes that she can identify the attacker. Of course, Deanna is completely traumatized from the murder of her mother, but with the help of a child psychiatrist, she was able to piece together that Halloween night. She remembers sitting watching TV with her mother when there's a loud knock on the door. Doreen got up and answered the door to her attacker. The next thing she remembers is hearing her mother scream for her to run and hide. Deanna never got a good look at the attacker, but the attacker certainly knew Deanna. After he had killed Doreen, he stalked through the house looking for Deanna and calling out her name. But Deanna, at 4 years old, stayed hidden like a fucking champ.
Yeah.
So it's another piece of the puzzle, but again, this doesn't mean it's Michael, but certainly edges towards being someone known to them.
Mm.
Can you fucking imagine the horror of being hidden in your house and someone slowly walking through calling out your fucking name?
Yeah.
And you don't even know who this person is. Police look into his personal life and they find that his life had somewhat spiraled since the death of his son. They learn that he had blamed Doreen for the death and about the subsequent wrongful death suit. He'd also seen some trouble in his career. To avoid being laid off, Michael had recently accepted a lower paid position in his workplace. So another kick in the bollocks.
Mm.
So after learning about this, they now have a motive. Not long after this, they received the lab results from the blood found at the scene, which confirmed the presence of Michael's DNA.
Okay. Oh, blood at the scene. Right, okay. I was going to say, his DNA is going to be in his truck, but you're on about the scene.
Yeah, they have to link. That's the whole point.
Yeah.
With this definitive link, Michael is rearrested and charged with murder on the 5th of November. But the same as with charging him, they want to make sure they have a strong enough case against Michael to secure the conviction. Through contacting those in Michael's life, police find that he's viewed as a quiet, shy, congenial man who doesn't often lose his temper. But they also find out that Michael had dressed as the Big Bad Wolf for a previous Halloween party.
Fuck's sake.
They also find out that there is plenty of photographs of Michael at this party where he wore the costume. It's like, for God's sake, man, spring for a new fucking mask.
Yeah.
On the 19th of July in 1988, 4 years after the murder, Michael's trial begins. He's charged with first-degree murder for Doreen and second-degree for her unborn child. The reason for the second-degree charge is because Doreen was due to deliver in less than 4 weeks and therefore the unborn child could have survived outside of the womb. So it's a separate charge.
Okay.
The motive is pretty clear. Michael blamed Doreen for the death of his son, and when the courts didn't rule in his favour, he stewed over a period of 4 years. He was falling deeper into despair and felt as though he was owed revenge. The prosecution theorised that he had planned to kidnap and murder Doreen, Charles and Deanna. They believed his plan was to drown them in the San Francisco Bay, to end their lives in the same way that his son's life had ended.
See, I don't think you were planning on drowning him because he went with a machete.
So when I first read that, I thought the same as you. I was like, it's a drastic difference.
Yeah.
But when you think about it, Michael most likely snapped that night and switched his plans. Think about the ease of being able to conceal your identity with it being Halloween, along with seeing parents out with their kids trick-or-treating, something that had been taken away from Michael.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
It does make sense. Yeah.
So it's like, again, what I was saying before. They should ban Halloween on the streets.
Well, this is the thing. It goes into your logic.
Yeah.
Pushed him over the edge.
Yeah. He might have got away with this if Halloween was cancelled.
He might have gotten away with it.
Yeah, because if he'd have gone back to his original plan, there'd have been missing people. It'd have been missing persons case.
So are you flip-flopping back and saying don't cancel Halloween because we've caught Michael?
Well, no. I still think you should cancel Halloween on public streets. But yeah, that would be the negative side of it.
Well, sorry, just to do what you want, wanting to cancel Halloween, are you all right with kids dressing up to go trick-or-treating? Because you're kind of taking a big element out there.
Yeah, I think by the time you get to 13, that's it. Stop dressing up.
Taking the piss after that.
Yeah.
Mm. Although he initially pleaded not guilty, he would later change his plea. His defense argued that, yes, Michael did commit the murders.
But it was self-defense.
But that Michael was not criminally responsible, given his mental state. Although there was testimonies from psychiatrists that suggested Michael had become delusional and fantasized about the murders of Doreen and Charles, he was never formally diagnosed or categorized as criminally insane. During court proceedings, Michael addressed the judge. He shitted on for about 30 minutes, and within his ramblings he said, quote, "If you eliminate October 31st, 1984, I'm a decent human being."
What?
I find the use of the word eliminate an interesting choice. Also, there is a hell of a lot of evidence to prove premeditation, so realistically we would need to eliminate a great deal of time for this argument to hold any weight.
Do you know what I thought you were going to say? He said, "Well, she got away with killing my son, so can't we even it out?"
It's just, the way he words it, though, it's kind of like that arrogant kind of, like, I just kind of had an image of like Ted Bundy. Well, if you do this, like, it's,
yeah,
like this kind of pseudo intellectual fucking shit.
Mm. Yeah. So I reckon what you said, I think it got that plan in motion, but then sat at Halloween seeing all the kids.
Mm-hmm.
It just snapped.
Yeah. No, in all seriousness, I do think Michael needs to be treated psychiatrically. The man spent 4 years spiraling due to the pain of losing his son.
Yeah.
There was some shit going on. On the 16th of August, 1988, Michael was found guilty and sentenced to death by gas chamber. Since the murder of Doreen, Charles has said, quote, "It happened. I got to accept it. And we got to move on. The anger, the hate, the revenge is pretty much subsided. But yes, I forgive him for my sake." Deanna has said, quote, "I'll never forget what he did, but I forgave him for what he did, because I don't want to hold that anger for the rest of my life." Michael has shown no remorse for his crimes, and he's currently on death row in San Quentin Prison. And that is the Halloween night murder of Doreen Herbert.
That was brutal.
It's like a fucking scene from a horror movie come to life.
Yeah.
Never mind the fact that it was Halloween, but to have a masked man in coveralls holding a fucking machete barge into your home.
Yeah, Jason Voorhees.
Jason Voorhees.
What?
Jason Voorhees.
Yeah.
What did you just say?
Voorhees or Voorhees?
Jason Foreskins. Also after the fact that he walked around the house looking for Deanna. Looking for the next target of his violence.
Yeah.
That's the bit that is really fucking scary to me.
So do you think if he'd have got the daughter, do you think he would have waited in the house for Charles to come home?
I don't know. I don't know if he would have killed her and then left. Like, literally, like, what was going on in the house in that moment.
Mm.
Now, I'm sure if Charles had come home during the attack, he certainly would have attacked him as well.
Yeah.
I believe. But it's just, it's like a fucking slasher movie.
Yeah.
It's horrifying.
Yeah.
Do you know as well what kept coming into my head during this? Do you remember I got you to watch the movie Creep?
Yes.
Do you remember he'd put on the, I think, was it called Peach Fuzz? The wolf mask he had?
Yes.
Yeah, that kept coming. And remember when he's like writhing against the door in the mask?
Yes.
That's what just kept coming back into my head. And I was like, oh, I don't like this. What would you do? If you opened your door, what would be a mask or a costume that you'd be like, fucking no.
Clown.
Clown, yeah.
Clown.
I think wolf now after watching that movie.
Police.
Police. Just the police in general.
Yeah.
Any thoughts, any opinions, or?
That was fucking brutal.
Shocking.
Opinions? Ban Halloween.
You really, really just hate, I think it's just that you're bitter that you never got to enjoy it.
No, it's not that at all. Do you not think it's logical and makes sense what I'm saying? You can walk around with replica weapons, which could be real weapons.
I do take the point you're making, yes. But I think it's slightly extreme.
Do you know what else was extreme? That murder.
That's a fair point well made.
Yeah.
Now, look at you, you're nodding your head at me like my point has been
made. Sent me bit.
Yeah.
No, that was fucking horrible. 2 inches into her brain.
Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, it's an incredibly gruesome murder, and I'm not going to get into all the details. I left a couple bits in so you can understand the severity of this attack, what this person did to this fucking heavily pregnant woman.
Hmm.
You know what I mean? As her daughter was fucking hiding, but I mean, you can envision in your head what the scene was, but you'll never be able to understand what Charles had to walk into and find.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, he's scarred for life. He's fucked. So, oddity.
The tosser. I thought you'd like that one.
Someone just going around pulling on the prick?
No.
Oh.
In 2021 in Tennessee, Highway Patrol spot a Honda Accord which had been parked up on the highway, partially impeding traffic. I asked you about Honda Accords the other day, do you remember?
Mm.
That's why.
Okay.
The driver was 39-year-old Tyson Gilbert, who took off as soon as he saw officers approaching. As Tyson flees, a chase ensues. The chase ran across 2 counties and involved the use of multiple police departments and highway patrols. Now, at one point during the pursuit of Tyson, they notice that he tosses something out of the window of his car. His penis.
What do you mean?
He threw his penis out of the,
well,
out of the car.
Well, like reverse mooned him?
No. His penis was independent from his body.
What?
And he lobbed it out the window. Tossed it out the window.
He threw his dick at him?
Threw it out the window. I don't know if it was at them. He was getting rid of it, like.
Why?
Well, I can't speak for Tyson, you know?
I can't think of a bigger fuck you.
Later on, he pulls onto a side road and opens his car door, allowing officers to view what was believed to have been a self-inflicted wound before speeding off again.
A non-existent prick.
Quote, he was all over the road the whole time. He turned off on Old Liberty Road and came to a stop. He opened his door. He was naked and covered in blood. He then shut his door and kept driving.
Ah, oh, he's out of it. He has to be. This is PCP or something.
In his mind, was it like, stop chasing me, look, I've done what I've had to.
Probably.
You know what I mean? Like, whatever was going on.
This is what I've done to myself. What the fuck do you think I'm going to do to you?
Oh, God. Eventually, police were able to slow the chase with the use of spike strips before boxing him in. Fucking side note, do you remember in GTA 3 when police would just like appear out of nowhere and hoof them onto the road? Fucking hate that. Tyson was detained and treated for his injuries. Now, clearly Tyson was going through some shit, as he later told officers that he had severed his penis after the voices from the radio told him to do so in order to save the world.
Okay.
Mm.
One of them.
There was no immediate update on Tyson or the location of his penis, but hopefully he's recovered fully from his injuries and is doing better today.
Some stray dog's got a good snack.
What do you think of that?
Like, I need to cross my legs?
That's why, like, the open the car door, like, in his mind, if he's feeling like I'm being told to do this, was he, like, showing the officer, like, look, I've done what I'm being told to do. Like, stop chasing me.
Yeah.
Because it's a very odd thing that he would actually slow in the middle of chase and go, here, look it.
Yeah.
Look at my severed penis. Well, lack thereof. You know what I mean? Poor old Tyson.
They'll have to get one of them dick on the forearm things done now, won't it?
Yeah.
The septic penis one.
We'll try and get the ball rolling after Tyson. Start a GoFundMe.
Is it related to you?
No. Not that I know of. I don't think I have any family in Tennessee.
I wonder what it's like to piss out on.
What?
I wonder what it's like to piss out on.
Was that English?
Yeah. I wonder what it's like for him to take a piss.
Yeah, but that's not what you said, was it?
Piss out on.
Piss out on.
Yeah, piss out on it.
Piss out on. I don't know what would happen there. Like, you know, depending on the damage you've done to the urethra and all. Like, it'd be a bit of a situation.
Mm.
But yeah, it'd depend on the degree of damage he had done. Had he cut the entirety off, or is it kind of near to the tip, or, you know, what was going on there?
Well, they'd have said circumcised himself.
No, it's not circumcision, is it, for fuck's sake? But I don't know, you know. He might have already been circumcised. I mean, it's more definitely more common in the States than over here. It's not really a thing here.
That's some self-discipline as well, to hack off your own anything.
Would you cut off your own penis to save the world?
No, absolutely not. I'd die with it.
That's a fucking mess anyway. What are you saving?
Yeah, I'd die with the world and with my penis.
Yeah. You're clearly just not as dedicated as Tyson is.